We shall now turn to Psalm 62, and we shall consider this psalm tonight. And I would like, first of all, to read through the psalm. Psalm 62, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bow in wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou rewardest, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. So you can see that the theme of this psalm is faith, trusting in God. There's actually no petitions in the psalm, which is unusual. Most psalms have prayers and petitions. But here the psalmist is happy, contented, joyful. He feels he's got everything. And you notice that there's this word in verse 5, which is kind of characteristic of the psalm. Expectation. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. This is a psalm of expectation. To use another word, a psalm of hope. Hope. Faith looks back to Calvary, and hope looks forward to heaven. Hope is based on faith because of who God is, what Christ has done for us, what the Spirit is doing in us. We have hope. We have great expectations. We have a wonderful future before us. Because God is our God, and Jesus Christ is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit is our Comforter, we are at peace. A wonderful future is assured us. So turning then to verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. Now, this first verse is difficult to translate from the Hebrew. And if you look at the various translations of it and the various commentaries on it, you'll see that there's lots of different ways of putting it. Literally, these first words are, "Only unto God silence my soul." Only unto God silence my soul. So it's difficult to interpret, but I think we get the idea. Only God silence my soul. Trusting in God, resting in God, depending upon God. Our soul is no longer shouting and crying and troubled and worried and anxious and stressed. God, only God, silence my soul. This word "only" with which the psalm begins, well, in our authorized version, it's translated "truly" here. The word "only" occurs 5 times in this psalm. 4 times it refers to David the author and to the Lord's people, and 1 time to his enemies and the enemies of God's people, the enemies of the Messiah. Only. So you could say that "only" is a characteristic word of the psalm too. It's the word with which the psalm begins, "only unto God." It's not a matter of God plus me, or God plus you, or God plus my friends, or God and my helpers. It's God alone, and it's God alone that we need. We don't need anyone else. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? God only. Silence my soul. We're looking to him and we have peace. Doesn't matter what the enemies do. God is almighty. Our future is secure. We have hope. Now looking at verse 2, "He only," there's another of these verses, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Another expression of faith, isn't it? Only God. And what is God? He's my rock, my salvation, my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. This verse is very similar, isn't it, to verse 8. There's only one difference, this word "greatly" in verse 2. He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. God is sovereign. God is almighty. God is calling us to trust in him, rest in him. He's my rock, my high rock, my rock where I'm safe, where I'm secure, where I cannot be destroyed. He's my rock. He's my salvation. We think of Jonah. Remember Jonah. Poor Jonah. God called on him to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, and he disobeyed. He ran away from God. He set off for Tarshish, got into a boat, but he didn't get very far. The Lord sent a storm, and such a storm as that it would sink the boat. And the only option was for the sailors to throw him out. And once he was thrown out, he was swallowed by a whale. And there he was in the belly of the whale, but he was still alive. And he says, "Out of the belly of hell cried I." He prayed to the Lord. Jonah chapter 2. And you remember how he finished that prayer? Salvation is of the Lord. He only is my rock and my salvation. And Jonah could say it in the belly of the whale. And it doesn't matter where you are tonight or what you're going through. He only is my salvation, and he's all my salvation. Wonderfully my salvation. And so the fish couldn't digest Jonah. It had to take him to shore and vomit him out. And Jonah continued on his mission and did what God commanded him to do. God is my salvation. God is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Shaken a little, troubled a bit. But like the disciples, we can say, Lord, increase my faith so that I won't be greatly moved. Increase my faith in the rock, my faith in my salvation, in my defense, in my God. And then verse 3, we come to the wicked ones, the enemies. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. And we think of David and all the enemies that he had, the different people who plotted against his life. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Remember, all the Psalms have a messianic interpretation too. And think of all who were plotting against him, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the multitude. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? He shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall he be. A wall, and it's beginning to bow out. It's beginning to bend outwards. And all it needs is a push, and the wall collapses. A tottering fence. The posts are rotten. Give it a wee push, and over it goes. And the Lord will give that push to the wicked. And whatever enemies we have, the world, the flesh, the devil, they're as a tottering fence, as a bowing wall. Even Satan, the prince of this world, his days are numbered. Romans 16 says, he shall be bruised under your feet shortly. The bowing wall will collapse. The roaring lion will be stamped beneath our feet. The world, the flesh, the devil. Run to your castle. You're safe in that rock, in that defense, in that hiding place. And all the enemies of God's people, they're like a bowing wall. They're like individuals standing on a slippery slope. We know all about slipperiness this last week with the snow. It was so slidey. Now imagine yourself standing on a steep slope and all that ice under your feet. Imagine yourself on the hill at Gardner Street there, really high, really steep. You're standing there, and it's ice, and you move, and imagine that at the bottom of Gardner Street, there was the lake of fire. The wicked are standing on a slippery place, and they slide down in a moment into the bottomless pit. How terrible is the situation of the wicked? Verse 4, they only consult. Notice the word only there. God only is my defense. God only is my rock. God only is my defense. Is that true of you? Is God only? Or is it true of you that you only consult to cast him down from his excellency? You only delight in lies. You bless with your mouth and you curse inwardly. That's the wicked. Saying one thing to your face and another thing behind your back. Delighting in lies, delighting in rubbish and heresy and false doctrine and all kinds of wicked philosophies and religions and ideas. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. You see, there's really only two kinds of people in the world. Those who only are God's people and who only trust in him as their defense, and those who only trust in lies and are enemies of Christ and are shouting, crucify him, crucify him. What side are we on? The Lord's side or the devil's side? Selah comes there at the end. Selah is saying, just pause. It's a kind of paragraph break. It's saying, think on these things. Think about the wicked imagining evil against a man, consulting to cast him down from his excellency, to cast down Christ. They delight in lies, they bless with our mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Don't be like that. And so we come to verse 6. Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. God only. My hope, my expectation, my great future. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Your times of illness, your times of trouble, your times of disappointment, your times of accidents. There's no bad accident as far as God is concerned. It's a good accident because it's working for your good. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He will never leave me nor forsake me. My God is my helper. Why should I be afraid? The best is yet to be. Even death itself is just the doorway to heaven. God only I wait upon, and therefore my expectation is exciting, happy, joyful, peaceful, blessed. We think of William Carey, the great missionary who went out to India and began that tremendous mission to India. You remember Carey's motto? Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Attempt great things for God, but do it with great expectations. What can you do, young man? You can't convert the heathen. Don't be carried away with your own importance. You're just a cobbler. What can you do against the masses of heathenism in India? Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Wonderful motto. Should be the motto of every Christian. Looking with expectation, great expectations. And then we come to verse 6, which seems to be a repetition of verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. But it's not a repetition. It's not a repetition of verse 2. Because the psalmist has moved on. And now you see how he's missed out that word. That word greatly, which was in verse 2. I shall not be greatly moved. Now he's saying, I shall not be moved. I won't be moved at all. Because of great expectations. Because God is my rock and my salvation. And my defense. I shall not be moved. No need to be moved. No need to worry. He's moved on. On this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus pictures for us the man building his house upon the sand. And the wind and the waves come and the flood beats against the house and it falls and great is the fall of it. But there's another man and he digs down and he builds his house upon the rock. And the wind blows and the floods flow and the waves beat against the house and it stands. I shall not be moved. Why? Because I'm standing on the rock, that eternal, sure and steadfast rock, which is Christ. What is your hope? Where is your faith? Are your feet standing firmly on Christ and the crucified one who died at Calvary to save sinners? Is he your hope? If he is, fear not, child of God. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is yours. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom forever. And so in verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. God is everything, isn't he? He's everything to us. Without God, we perish. With God, we are more than conquerors. All I need is to be found in God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Don't look to idols. Don't look to Allah. Don't look to the Virgin Mary. Don't look anywhere else, but look unto me. To me, the living and true God. To me, the great God, whose creator and sustainer and redeemer and judge, the God of earth and the God of heaven, the God of the past and the God of the future. Everything you need is in me. Salvation from sin. Salvation from Satan. Salvation from this world. Salvation from persecution. It might come, but you shall not be moved. You will be saved, and you will be brought into heaven. And when you get into heaven, you will look back and you will say, our light affliction, which was but for a moment, it worked an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. whatever crown of thorns we might have to bear in this life, with death, the crown is taken away, and in the place of the crown of thorns, we're given a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. Think of the Apostle Paul and his wonderful testimony just before he was executed. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearing. Do you love the Lord? Are you looking forward to his coming? Do you have great expectations? Fear not. There's a wonderful future before you. There's a paradise there. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away is there in heaven for you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. In God is my salvation, not in myself, not in man, not in a church, but in God is my salvation and my glory, my boast. I will glory in the Lord. I won't boast of myself or anything I've done or achieved. Oh, what a sad tendency we have to try and boast in ourselves. How foolish it is. And pride comes before a fall. And the Lord often has to make us fall because we're so proud and self-confident and self-reliant and glorying in ourselves. If only we would give more glory to God, then how blessed we would be. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And then verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Pour out your heart. That's a great invitation, isn't it? There's your heart. And it's all boiling up full of concerns and worries and troubles and anxieties and perplexities and problems. Pour out your heart. Empty it. Empty it to God. And let the peace of God flow in instead. What a lovely picture that is. All the troubles poured out, all the peace poured in. Pour out your heart, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall thee sustain. The righteous man's memorial shall everlasting prove. Cast your burden on the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shall dwell, and verily have food. Take all your concerns to him. Whether you're on the mountain top or in a deep, dark valley, even in a slough of despond and you're feeling you're sinking, pour out your heart to him and you'll suddenly discover that your feet are on firm ground. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Whoever they are, men, children of Adam, some are high degree, some are clever, rich, powerful, others poor, needy perhaps, beggars. It doesn't make any difference. Whether it's great men or small men, strong men or weak men, healthy men or sick men, all men are vanity, lighter than vanity. Men are as a vapor that appeareth for a little moment and then vanisheth away. Are you worried about people, what they say to you? Are you worried about this enemy, that individual that might cut you down and make a fool of you and laugh at you? Don't worry about man. Don't be bothered about what they say. Surely, surely, says the scripture, men of low degree are emptiness, and men of high degree, just a lie, a deception. To be laid in the balance, try and weigh them. Lighter than vanity, lighter than emptiness. Man, what's man? His days are as the grass, as the flower of the grass he grows in the morning, cut down at even doth fade. Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery, and if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Riches. So many people think, if only I had money. Money is the great incentive for many. Money is that which makes people work so hard, long hours, sacrifice so many things for money. And some people, they strive to get money by oppression, trampling upon the weak. Others, by robbery. If riches increase, even if your riches increase by hard work, don't trust in riches. Because riches, you can be so wealthy today, and riches take themselves wings. You've got it today, and it flies away tomorrow. And what you thought you had, that great nest egg that you thought you'd had, saved up for retirement, it maybe disappears. It's so uncertain. It's far better to have spiritual riches, because they'll never disappear. Every other riches is vulnerable. And no matter what Northern Rock or other building society or bank you're trusting in, they can all go bankrupt. They can all disappear. And all these funds that you think are so secure, suddenly the country takes a revolution, or God sends something into history, or robbery and fraud come along, and you've got nothing. But if you have God, you're wealthy. Better to be a poor man with God than a rich man without God. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, don't set your heart upon them. Only God. Verse 11, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. All that matters is God. And power belongs to God. And mercy. It's good that these two go together, isn't it? Power and mercy. If God was a God of power without mercy, there'd be no hope for us. And if God was a God of mercy without power, there would be no hope for us. We need a powerful God who's merciful, and we come to him. This powerful God is merciful, and we trust in him. And God only is my rock, my defense, my salvation, my assurance, my expectation, my hope. Everything is in God, and he'll never let us down. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wonderful prayer. And God was merciful to that sinner. And God is merciful to you tonight, who's praying to him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. He will save you. God only is my expectation. Let's pray. Enable us, O Lord, to trust in thee, to trust in the Lord, and to trust in the Lord alone. We thank thee, O Lord, for justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, by the grace of God alone, to the glory of God alone. We thank thee for God only. Oh, that thou wouldst be the only one ruling in our hearts, the only one to whom we pray, the only one on whom we depend, the only one whom we seek to serve. Be our master, be our saviour, be our redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed forever. Amen.